Welcome back to the podcast, Live Elevated with Brian Pruitt, helping you stay fit for life physically, mentally, and spiritually. And today, this episode is going to be powerful. It is with one of my favorite human beings, Nick Gerber. He is a client, a long-term client. We've been working together one-on-one for over 2 years now, I believe. His story is incredibly powerful. He is a successful businessman, a career-driven man, but more importantly, he is a father, he's a husband, and he is a man who embodies what he believes. He is fit at 40 and beyond. He has been through ups and downs. We talk about his journey with alcohol and his journey with his childhood and high school, college, even into his career and just finding his purpose and really becoming more him. And choosing not to do life alone, not going with going through the motions, not just blending in with what's common or what's average, but really taking back his life and taking back ownership of the duty, the responsibility, and better yet, the opportunity to step into the man he was always made to be, to pursue his God-given greatness. And so this episode, this conversation is extremely powerful. There's really some really mind shifts, powerful mindset shifts that we talk about. And if you reflect and internalize what Nick was talking about, you'll really be able to implement some solid things. If you're a busy man, you have a job, you have a demanding schedule, this is the episode for you. So enjoy this episode. Without further ado, my good friend and brother for life, Nick Gerber. All right, buddy, we are here, Nick Gerber.
We've been here.
We've been here for 10 minutes trying to figure out the audio. I think we got to figure it out, but we'll see. This will be touch and go for a bit.
I don't want to touch anything.
No. At one point, he had the cord for the microphone over his neck.
I think I can still do that.
To break the static.
We got it.
But dude, I'm super stoked you joined.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been so long, like since we have known each other, worked together, done life together, and then not had a conversation like this at the studio. Talk about everything, life, fatherhood, fitness, business, your journey, setting intentions. We have a lot to dive into, so I'm excited. But
how long have we known each other?
Dude, coming up on 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Right around there, September, I think.
End of September.
Yeah. 2 year anniversary. Let's go. The brotherhood.
You're going to send me a card?
Oh, I just wrote you a card today, buddy. But, dude, so first off, for those of the people maybe listening who don't know Nick Gerber, who the heck is Nick Gerber? Tell me about yourself. Got to start with where you were born and what hospital. But, you're a father, your husband, yeah.
Melrose, Massachusetts, May 19th, 1981.
What time?
No, I'd have to call my mom. So that makes me from Boston. I'm 42 years old. Born and raised there, lived there for 15 years. Migrated to Ohio via a short stint in Denver. Spent the last 25 years there before I got saved and brought to Florida full-time about a year ago.
True. Saved from the absolute horrific winters up there. And so you spent most of your life in Ohio.
Yeah, I think definitely my adult life for sure. Yeah. But yeah, man, cold, gray, dreary, depressing, all that fun stuff.
Do you how important was that move for you? I mean, because obviously some people can't make that move. You made that move, and obviously a lot goes into it, especially well into your career and success and all that. So that was a tough move regardless. But I guess, how important was that move for you and your journey thus far, I guess?
It was huge, man. It's it's been everything. It's been the best thing we've ever done. It's injected a level of balance and a newfound quality of life. I think we were accustomed to doing things one way because that was the only way we'd ever known. And then we found out there was a better way, which was a breakthrough, right? So it's been a total game changer.
That's amazing. You didn't know what you didn't know.
You didn't know how powerful
of a breakthrough it would be until you stepped through it. We'll get into some of that too. But out of the gate, man, I want to say I appreciate you as a brother, as a friend. again, we met 2 years ago, started working together on fitness, on mentality. And I just want to talk about that for a bit if we can.
Yeah, man, it's been fun.
But you're an absolute stud. And I think I've learned so much from you. You know, I think it's like our relationship's reciprocal where I'm learning from you, you're learning from me.
Yeah, really? Like, what am I learning from you?
You've
like,
learned everything you know from me. Everything that's working.
But that's the key, right? A relationship has to be reciprocal. If it's not reciprocal, like, what's the value found in it, right? So. It's, you know, I had a mentor tell me one time that 1 + 1 has to equal more than 2. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would say in our relationship, it absolutely does. And that means you get better, I get better, which means everybody around us gets better and we're all better because of that.
Wow.
Right.
Ripple effect sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Now the physical transformation, I think it's important too, because when we first started working, it's obviously important, right? But dude, this guy sent me a photo, by the way, last night.
Fat.
Dude,
you were out of shape.
I mean, you were just
and lazy.
You were just an average guy. Like, you were just kind of like in that state of like, this is what it is.
I was dad botted out. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And you have your reasons, no doubt. But then you overcame that.
No. I have my excuses.
Excuses.
Right.
Exactly.
I have my excuses as to how I got to that stage of my being.
Good catch.
Right.
So the physical, right? The cool part and the powerful part is when we first began, excuse me, you couldn't work out for like a month and a half. So
you're going to go there?
Well, I'm not going to go for the reason, but I'm saying, like, dude, we didn't even focus on the workouts for a month and a half, and yet you started that journey of, like, kind of soft, like you would say, like, you just feel like a soft, you know, fluffy guy. You began that journey to getting where you are now, which is absolutely shredded and hard-bodied.
Right.
So, like, speak about maybe why was that different?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, like, and I remember you and I have had the conversation. I actually met your wife before I met you.
And most of my friends and people in my life do.
Good reason. She's kind of cooler.
Amazing.
Right.
Amazing human being. Way cooler than me.
And my wife was engaging with her, and we were sitting there talking, and Gigi looked at me and was like, I'm so excited you're going to meet Brian, because I think you and I had just maybe talked like the day before, but you weren't able to be at the event that we were at.
Yeah.
And I sort of gave her that, like, tiptoe excuse of, I'm not sure if it's going to work. And she looked at me and she was like, and just to paint the backdrop here, we had just had our third child and we were done having children. So I was about to embark on the journey of never having children again and taking the precautionary methods to make sure that was factual. And yeah,
exactly. Oh, you're talking the snip.
The snip, snap, right. So I was using that as, you know, another like, okay, I can't be active, which is, you know, true for sure. But,
yeah.
You know, Gigi looked at me and said, I think you're going to find that with some of the techniques that Brian uses, you don't even have to work out. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, sure, whatever. Like,
what is he, a brain ninja?
And yeah, definitely not. But, you know, ultimately what I learned and what I tell people to this day is like, what's the secret? Well, it's, you know, 10,000 active steps a day and 100 ounces of water, right? Hmm. So, you know, I think about where I got this habit from, and that's really what we did. So for the first month, and I could go back in my phone and look at the weight reduction that occurred, like I ate right through the macro education, walked 10,000 active steps. Now there's a difference, I think, because when I just use my, like, hey, I'm walking around the office, I'm walking around the house, there's 10,000 steps.
Mm-hmm.
Those don't equate to nearly as much as when I'm like actively engaged and
sure.
100 ounces of water, right? And I just saw it start to fall off.
Yeah.
And so by the time we actually started to get into some of the physical fitness aspect of the program, like, the foundation was laid.
And the momentum had began.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and I think with the macros too, like, the most important thing about that was what? Like, what was the most important macro focus for you?
Protein.
Boom.
Right? Like, just nail the protein. And I think for me, that was the big thing is, and I tell the story this way, is that I'm not all that smart of a guy. So I take tidbits of information and have to break them down. But I think I could have told you, I think if you would have encountered me 2.5-3 years ago and said, what's the average person need to eat per day?
Mm-hmm.
I would say 2,000 calories. And I was probably pretty right with that.
Right.
But what I couldn't do for you is break down what macros were.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew there was carbohydrates, fats, proteins. But I didn't understand the relationship between them. And once we got that formulaic approach outlined and embraced it into what I was doing, like, all of a sudden it's like, dude, this isn't really that hard.
Hmm. So yeah, it made it real to you and practical, as opposed to just like knowledge that's not applied.
Correct.
So, but that, those are three simple things. And I really try to be about telling and sharing the simplicity and the power of keeping it simple. So what made the difference? If those three things can be elitely executed, what made the difference in terms of like, why did it take long or take a process for you to like just be okay with being average with your fitness for so long?
Well, it's, you know, I think it's the foundation that we laid, but I think it was also my intentions, right? Like, so I can look back and I can see pictures of myself. I can reflect on where I was. And, yeah. And if I'm brutally honest, right? Like at the time I could have told you I was 38 years old and I was a healthy guy. And that's what I believed in my brain, right? Hmm. But I wasn't, right? I wasn't setting the intentions to be the best version of myself. I was doing things middle of the road.
Yeah.
But I wasn't taking it to the next level. I wasn't focused on it. I wasn't intentional in what I was doing. Now I'm intentional in, I like to believe, all areas of my life. I'm not perfect with it, but the intention setting is key, right? So when I get up on a given day and I have no idea what's going to hit me, I'm a victim of the world. And anything that comes at me will affect me. But when I come up, when I get up in a given day and say, I'm going to go do X, you know, the world's still going to come at you and move you around a little bit, but you're going to be able to stay focused, and focus in all areas of life, I think, is monumentally key.
So fire, dude. Let's put a pin in that idea of intention setting, because I really like that. And I think you're a guy who just lives that by example so well. But I think the thing I want to just expand on here is the idea of, you would consider yourself a healthy person back then when you said right now you really weren't. So I think it's interesting when we think about our human potential. Like, we are limitless. Like, we are in a way limitless in terms of what we can actualize in our potential. Mm-hmm. So I think what was different there is maybe you're looking to Joe next to you and Sam next to you and maybe comparing outwardly and saying, well, yeah, I'm a little healthier than them, or I think I have a little bit more put together, so therefore I am healthy, versus looking at yourself and your potential that's God-given and saying, no, I am. Yeah. Settling in some
areas. Well, that comparison's dangerous, right? Because we can compare ourselves to anybody at any point and say, okay, well, I'm here and they're here, which makes me not better than, but like I'm in a better position. Like, so
yeah,
I'm not, you know, we'll use weight as a very soft example, right? Like, I'm not as heavy set as that dude, right? So I'm better, you know, I'm still, you know, I was 40 pounds heavier. I wasn't like obese, but I was fluffy and felt gross. Mm-hmm. But there was people that were worse, right? So
right.
I was okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And it keeps you stuck, because like that's just the comparison game is toxic, but it also is an excuse, to your point. That was right. well put. You had your reasons. You're like, no, I had excuses. Right. I had things that were in my head that were kind of self-created that were keeping you.
Yeah. When we want to make a change, we have all the ability in the world to make a change. But we have to want to make that change.
What keeps people, you think, from making positive changes if it's in their ability to do so?
It's a good question. I think a lot of it's self-imposed limitations, right? Like I think the world tells us stuff about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Social media tells us stuff about ourselves. People tell us stuff about ourselves, and it's how we filter that in. It's like, you know, if you tell me I can't, I start to believe I can't. Mm. Until I believe in myself and allow myself to believe that I can and grow through that, right? And so it's that journey of, what do I want to say here? Like self-determination. Hmm. And I would agree with you, we're all limitless. We can all do anything we want to do. It's just a matter of how bad do you want it and how intentional can you get with that?
That's so good, man. And how long it'll take. I mean, how consistent
can you
stay,
right? That's the other thing, right? So we do
resiliency.
We do this stuff where it's like, and I've been guilty of this for the majority. So if I'm 42, I've probably been guilty of it for 39 of my 42 years of like, I want this and I want it now. Mm-hmm. And that could be a car. It could be a change in career, a change in location, development in anything that I'm doing, right? But I think fundamentally most of us are wired or influenced to look for instant gratification. Let's go back to physical fitness for a second, even though that's not necessarily what we're talking about. how many times I bought a men's health magazine when I was 30 years old because yeah. the dude had a six pack on the top of it. And it was like, you know, the title was Get Ripped in 12 Days.
Right.
And okay, that's not real. And guess what? That never worked. But that you also go through like what social media teaches us. And I can find things in my Instagram or Facebook right now. That's mm-hmm. a 30 day to, you know, a miraculous body plan.
Right.
That's not real. It's not sustainable. And anytime I made any headway with that stuff, I slid backwards as soon as it stopped. Right. Mm. And so it's, you know, what I've learned today is the concept of moving the needle. So instead of thinking these big grandiose maneuvers that are going to get me from A to Z, mm-hmm. I focus on A to B and then B to C, C to D, D to E, E to F. And I'm not smart enough to do the whole alphabet like that, but you get what I'm saying, right? Yeah. So, you know, I can paralyze myself by thinking of getting all the way to Z.
Right.
And then I'm just screwed and I never get past C in that equation. But when I go A to B, B to C. Now all of a sudden I'm at MLNOP, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said that backwards. It's LMNOP, right?
Dyslexia, huh?
Yeah, right.
You and me both, bro. You heard Will Smith talk about his like philosophy behind progress and success and all that, where he's talking about you don't build a building like in a day. Yeah. You know, you don't try to set out and build the biggest, best, firmest foundation of a building in one day. All you do is you take a brick and you lay that brick as perfectly as possible with as much intention as you can to the best of your ability that day.
Right.
And you do it again. And the next day, you do it again. You wake up and you build brick by brick.
But I think the challenge is that we've been influenced in such a way that that's great. And I get that concept. But I'm going to be the exception. Hmm. I'm going to come in and I'm going to put 10 bricks in place today.
Yeah.
And that's maybe not possible. Right. And we think along those lines because oftentimes we're shown, you know, if you think about scrolling through something on social media, it's like pictures of start, midway, and completed. It's like, man, that went fast.
Mm.
But you're missing everything that happened in between.
Wow.
And we lose focus, the ability to recognize the work that goes into everything in between. And the everything in between is what's stupidly important.
Right. Facts. So, Nick, what do you think is the number one trait or characteristic of someone who would have success in this journey of life, whether it be business, fitness, relationships? If we know what to do, but the human tendency is to make it more complicated or the shiny object syndrome and what's new is better, what's the biggest character trait that makes the most difference in someone's life?
Yeah, I don't think there is one. And I think that's the mistake we make, and I know that's the mistake that I've made, is I'm looking for that one thing. There really is no one thing. It's a conglomerate of all of the things that we do. So, you know, intention setting, determination, mm-hmm. so on and so forth, and being really sharp in all of these areas, because all of these areas are what make us better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think I can look at you and say, man, if you are the most intentional person in the world, it's going to just fix everything.
Right.
I think you have to learn the concept of being intentional. If you're the most focused person in the world, it's going to fix everything. Now you got to learn the concept of being focused, right? And so we can go all the way down the line like that. And I think it's I deal with business, and I talk about like, you know, a dashboard of controls like this, where we learn what these little levers do and these knobs, and we turn them and we turn them to get a result. And
yeah.
So if we think about the concepts that we need to embrace in our life, each one of those is a lever or a dial or something that we can turn and improve on. And if we're constantly pushing, pulling, turning, we're going to get better as a whole, as opposed to that one thing. Does that make any sense?
100%. Yeah. I mean, you're just speaking of the balanced approach of not compartmentalizing your life so much to where you're really just like trying to be like intentions, everything, to where you're just letting other ships kind of sink. You want to be aware of everything so you can.
Right. Like I could pour, you know, for a very, very long time. It was like, man, if I could only get myself in shape,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be perfect. And I could pour everything I have into my ability to get in shape. Maybe my career falls apart. Maybe my home life falls apart. My finances dwindle, this, that, and the other. But I'm physically fit. Oh, okay, but now what?
Yeah.
Right. And it's this balance thing, and it's trying to get things to be in balance as opposed to, you know, too much energy and effort into one particular area.
Yeah. That's so good, bro. And I think that speaks to the idea of what we talk about all the time is being fit for life as a whole. You know, right. being fit to lift weights is very different than being fit to be a capable father or a husband or a leader in the business world and in your company. So that's really important. And I think that's getting out there more to where people are understanding, like, yeah, the six pack in itself is not going to solve your issues. In fact, if that's all you're chasing, like to your point, I think stuff will be lost in the process. So now what about the mentality? I think you're speaking already to that, but the mentality maybe you had 3-4 years ago, how has that changed now that you're stepping into this new era of, I mean, I literally wrote down, you're a classic example of dad bod to father figure, but it's a lot more than physical. You've kind of just stepped into a role of you're taking ownership of the physical. Yeah. The fitness, the training, the steps, the habits. But I just feel like you're sharper mentally. I feel like you have a different energy and confidence.
Well, it's the discipline surrounding all of it. So if we go back to that move the needle conversation, you know, so for so long in my life, I was trying to go from, excuse me, call it dad bod to six pack in 30 days.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work and you get discouraged.
Quick fixes, right? Yeah.
But the lesson here is move the needle. So if we think about going back to the onset of our relationship, I couldn't go full bore into something. So we started with what I could and we moved the needle. And then I always, you know, I was always afraid to get into a weight room because I didn't know the drills and I didn't know what it was that I was supposed to be doing. And I was going to look like a fool, this, that, and the other. Hmm. Well, there's me worrying about what everybody else is going to think. Hmm. But also, like, it was overwhelming. But part of what you were able to help me do is break it down, right? Here's the only thing you got to worry about today. And so if we look, and I did it this morning, you know, there's only, so we've been together for 2 years. There's only probably less than 300 workouts logged in my app, which tells you that I haven't been, it's not two-a-days, it's not overwhelming, it's breaking it apart into incremental pieces that I can absorb and learn. And so what I've learned there is boom, 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 we're just moving.
Yeah.
Right. And the whole time we're moving, we're actually getting somewhere, you know, and at the end of the day, forward is forward. And what I was doing before was going forward and back. And each time I'd go back, I'd probably go back a little bit further.
Right.
Because of the mental setback that occurs. And now I've learned to incrementally win in the equation. Right. So it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I'm not paralyzed by the overarching, you know, it's not about how to lose 40 pounds. Mm-hmm. It's about how to lose 1 pound
And keep that pound off
40 weeks.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fire.
And it's not about how to make $1 million. It's about how to save a little today and save a little tomorrow
and make a buck today.
Right.
Make a buck tomorrow.
There you go. And before you know it, you're exponentially further than you ever thought you would be.
That's so good, Nick. It's almost like it's good to have the end goal in mind. Like, I think that's really important. But if we're not careful, we're just so focused on that end goal or the finish line that we kind of lose focus on the next step.
Well, I think the word focused on the end goal is inaccurate. It's paralyzed, right? We focus on the fact that we have to do X, and I have no idea how to do X.
Yeah,
it's too much. So I'm paralyzed by it, and I'm overwhelmed with stress and emotion and things that are surrounding, like, how am I ever going to get there?
Yeah.
And maybe I do accidentally get there, or maybe I do a couple things right, but I didn't learn the right way to get there. I didn't learn the process.
Yeah.
You know, there's a phrase that I've become accustomed with, that the elevator is broken, take the steps. And when we take those steps, we're learning all the way along so that when we get to whatever X was, we learned how to do it.
That's on point.
Take a free ride to the top.
That's on point, dude. Yeah, you don't learn anything taking the elevator in life, you know, hypothetically, right?
A free ride doesn't teach you anything.
And you don't appreciate the value, too. Mm-hmm. So no lessons learned, and you don't appreciate it, which means you're probably going to be feeling empty when you make it or when you arrive. But what you said, too, Nick, is powerful about the idea of, and I'll talk about, I don't have any beef with 75 hard, at least not like, you know, extreme beef. But that there is a very I think toxic approach to one's life that is all out, extreme living, and if you mess up, you revert back to your old lifestyle because you are shaming yourself and guilting yourself, and you're just, you know, it's very up and down. You were talking about the 1% better mentality. You're talking about how incremental growth can transform your life. Give it enough time.
I think what we learn is that extreme mentality doesn't get us anywhere long term. Could that extreme mentality produce short-term results? For sure.
For sure.
Has it for me and probably for you in our lives? For sure.
Yeah.
Are those sustainable results?
Mm-hmm.
Is the foundation there to support it? And right. It doesn't matter if you're talking about fitness, financials, faith, friendships, whatever you want to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Those extremes don't tend to yield long-term anything.
Correct. Yeah. And if you can't sustain it, then, you know, why spend time? Like why just spend all your effort and time and energy and attention trying to do something that's not sustainable? Because like the end goal is long-term success, right. Long-term freedom.
Right.
And that's the whole point of, you know, staying fit or building wealth is you are sacrificing maybe some discomfort in the present for future freedom, for future strength, for future ability, really. So it's a beautiful idea. Right. What keeps us trapped in that, I think, is the instant gratification. I think it's the extreme mentality, like you said. And that's why I think, and we'll get off it, but the 75 hards is you're doing such an extreme approach to your health that when you fall off, you're like, well, dude, I'm exhausted. I can't possibly do that. And then you then give up on goal A or goal B or your potential to step into the person you were made to be because it's just too exhausting. It's impossible. So snapping out of that is super important and just focusing on today, this moment, this hour, you know, this next step. And that's when the world kind of opens up to you if you can stay really good at staying there.
Yeah. So it's the concept of like one day at a time. Right?
Yeah.
Like that's all we've got right now is this. We can't worry about that.
Facts. I had are you on Threads? It's like the new Twitter. You probably haven't heard of it.
Dude, I'm 42.
He's 42. I forgot. Yeah. No, dude. Age is a number. Okay. We don't grow older. We grow riper.
So, no. I mean, I know what Threads are, but I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm out of the Twitter thing. I'm out of the TikTok. Like, that stuff.
We should talk about this, Nick, because not to cut you off. I think it's really powerful.
But you did cut me off.
I'm waiting for you to talk.
So
I can cut you off again.
You come in.
I wanted to cut you off again.
I'm like, what's he going
to
say?
No, that was a great.
I think to go to your thread thing, like that's just an avenue that I've decided not to go down because I've determined that I have 17 different medias that hit me throughout the course of a day.
Yes.
And it's entirely too much that pulls on who I am and the focus that I'm trying to develop.
Correct.
And so when these thread things came about, like I'm just, dude, like it's too much. I need less, not more.
Ooh, you're like, I don't need more in my life. Right, Bruce Lee said it best.
Like, I want my thumbs to function when I'm 52.
100%. 100%. Let me just check the time. I got 30 seconds. I'm gonna flip the camera. We're low budget, it guys. We just have to flip my camera only records for 30 minutes, and I have to reboot it. So, but before we do, got 20 seconds before I do it. Bruce Lee said it best. It's not about the daily addition, but the daily subtraction. Hack away at the unessential.
And you 100%.
And you find yourself with more freedom, more time, more energy, more capacity.
100%.
But the thread I had, and I will... So the Bruce Lee quote, I mean, he hits the nail on the head, no doubt, because everybody's plate's full, man. Everyone's got freaking full plates. We talked about this in my podcast with Flow Life. Colin, it's like, dude, we don't need more things in our life. We need less, and we need to focus on the stuff that actually moves the needle. My thread, though, just to finish that thought, was I was like, you know, life is, at least in the moment, I was like, life is meant to be lived one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time, and 1 moment at a time. When we find ourselves stressed or anxious or depressed, typically we're living in the past with regret. Or in the future with anxiety and with worry and with fear. So it's like, how can we be more present? How can we be more mindful in this moment? And that really does improve a lot of our life for sure.
Well, I mean, just look at this conversation. My phone is on the floor and yours is on do not disturb.
Mm-hmm.
If my phone were here and yours were not, we would be like still talking, but we'd be like, ooh, 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 like hold, like, and then half present for the conversation
we're having. Which happens honestly a lot for me and my day to day.
As you reach over and touch your phone
to turn it off.
Yeah.
But no, it's true. Like how much of our life is spent distracted. I mean, I really want to hack away at that. I mean, how
way more
what's
than
worked what's worked for you? Because you mentioned the silence, the solitude. I think you're really good at that. You simplify your life, and I'm all about it as well. How have you done that successfully?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, and I guess you and I haven't talked about that, but it honestly goes back to a guy that I need to introduce you to, I'm going to give a shout out to Jason Henkel, who has a company called Focus to Evolve.
Let's go, Jason.
Love that. You know, what it really is this sort of mechanism about compartmentalizing what we do. And it started in the business process for me of like, you know, I became a slave to my emails, and I'm like sitting here and it's like using my email inbox as a task list. And so I'm doing something and then something else pops in, I go do that. And I'm talking to you on a Zoom call and something pops up and it's like, you're doing both, right? And so you're straddling all these different things that you're trying to do. Or I'm trying to be present with you and I'm taking a phone call and it's like, yeah, what do you need? Yeah, hold on a second.
You ever talk to somebody on the phone?
Right. Easy, pal. I was trying not to crash when I was talking to you.
I know.
So we have our focus in 3 to 4 places at one time. Mm-hmm. And it dulls our quality of engagement, but it also just makes us dumber. Yeah. I fully believe that it makes us a lot dumber.
And you and I can't afford to get dumber.
No kidding, right? So you look and you think about the devices. And so if I'm sitting at my desk, I have 3 screens and multiple gizmos, and there's a phone, and then there's a cell phone, and there's a desk phone, and maybe I have an Apple Watch on. You can ping me all over the place, right? And so what Henkel does is he eliminates the distractions. So taking the bubbles out, setting your phone so that your text messages don't ping you at that moment, so that your inbox doesn't ping you at that moment. And if you set time to go look at these things, now you're focused. And so it's being intentional about when you're getting into things and when you're executing them. There's a time to look at social media.
Sure.
It's not when I'm at dinner with you.
Sure.
Right. Yep. It's when I have a spare 15 minutes, right? Yeah. One of the things I'm trying to intently do, and I suck at it right now, is limit my social media exposure to 15 minutes a day.
Mm.
If I sit down and I allow myself to scroll, I feel dull. I feel dumb. I feel disconnected. And there's a lot of emotions that go through that stuff, right? But if I'm intentional and I put some limits on it and some focus time to it, like it's much more, I hate to use the word productive with social media, but it's much more productive, I think. I can get what I want to go after, see a couple other things and get out.
Yeah.
Right? Unscathed, yeah. Hopefully.
Yes.
But
minorly distracted as opposed to falling in a black hole for.
But if I'm calling myself out on this, right? Like there's too many times where it's like the 15 minute timer goes off and it's like your timer's off and you can hit ignore, keep going.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, my biggest weakness right now is like just keep hitting ignore and I'll go further into it. Right.
So Colin, he mentioned his wife has the passcode, which is interesting. So I think you can give people access to. You have to ask me like, hey, can you give me that time on the app?
Kind of like my 6-year-old and his iPad.
Kind of, you know, we're all grown up.
But you know, here's the
kids.
Deal. Like, I think that's great, but like, I'm also fully capable
for sure
of implementing discipline
for sure.
And it's clearly goes back to the beginning of this conversation. I'm choosing not to be better in that equation.
Yeah,
and that's the battle.
Yeah, well, the fact that I think speaking about it, bringing awareness to our consciousness of what can kind of be playing in our heads. But as we talk, as we have conversations, that's the power of spoken word as it is. I mean, if you have a goal and you're not speaking about it or writing about it or talking about it, like the likelihood of you reaching that goal is a lot smaller than if you were speaking about it, acting as if you are on your way, as if it's already yours, but it's only a matter of time, right? Which is really cool. And so from what I gathered, because I much interested in how well you do that, because you do that phenomenally, is you've just decided, really that's as simple as it is. You decided to, number one, but you just limited, you hyper-focus. So you time block, you eliminate distractions.
Time block is a huge, that's insanely important.
Yes. Right?
Like that's the concept. Like I knew I was coming here this morning.
Yeah.
I knew that 2 weeks ago. I've been building my calendar for 2 weeks to utilize the hour and a half that I had driving here and what I was going to need to do in that time frame.
Yep.
You know, so you get to Wednesday and you want to get distracted by this phone call. And it's like, wait a minute, I'm going to see Brian on Friday. I can loop that in. And I hit every one of those bogeys on the way here.
So good, dude.
I'm going to hit every one of those bogeys on the way home. Instead of just like, you know, trying to figure out what's on satellite radio or who can I call and just randomly spout off to. It's like, who do I need to be focused with? And when I give somebody my focus, it's meaningful time, right? And only good can come of that. Now, when I give you my half-assed attention, it's whatever.
Dude, that is so powerful, man. I mean, time is money. Time is something. It's valuable. It's our most valuable asset, which is everyone knows that or has heard that. But then it begs the question of like, okay, like if we're not focused with our time, then is it really truly that quality time?
Right. I'm doing this. Okay, but what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Right. I'm working at this. And so many times throughout my career and my personal life, and you see it probably more often on the professional side, but you got somebody that's working really hard, but they're pushing against a brick wall.
Yeah.
Right. And so it goes back to this whole work smarter, not harder thing. And, you know, I would say that like earlier in my professional career, it was like, I'm going to be at the office at 5:30 in the morning and I'm going to leave at 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did that for a while.
Sure.
And it's like, wait a minute, like what did I really accomplish in that? You know, so I'm sitting in the office drinking coffee at 5:45 in the morning, reading the paper.
Yeah.
That's not productive.
For sure. Yeah. You've heard of the 4-hour workday.
Yeah.
Like that sort of stuff where it really is truly powerful. If you just, I guess, shrunk your day into a, like, I need to get my work done in this amount of time. So instead of having the 9-to-5 mentality,
when
where it's
we
like,
start to pay attention to the distractions that are taxing, and this is something that Jason Henkel talks about, is the tax, the cognitive tax that happens inside of our brains.
Yes.
I can sit down here and I can start to work away, but every time my eye watch or whatever those things people wear goes off and I start like ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Like that takes away from what I'm doing. Well, I just spent another 3 minutes. Well, you do that 10 times, there's a half hour.
100%.
Right? And now all of a sudden my outlook is going off and it's somebody that wants me to read some white paper on something that really doesn't matter for another 3 weeks. I'm all over the place. And so how do you eliminate that time down into – I haven't quite figured out that 4-hour work week thing, right?
Sure, sure.
But how do you shave things off and really do what I would call create margin, right? Mm. Margin to be able to – like, listen, it's Friday. I lead a team of people, and I'm here doing this with you.
Right.
I was able to do that because I created the margin to be able to do it.
True.
That allows me that space to operate like that. And I feel very comfortable doing it, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of like, okay, we got to get this over with so that I can, okay, it's already 10 after 11, B. Yeah. Like, what are we doing?
Right, right.
And then I'm like, you know, I'm anxious and I'm behind, and the concept of being behind doesn't lead me anywhere good because then I go in and I'm stressed out and listen, man, I am far from perfect with any of this stuff, but these are the things that I'm working on.
Well, when you're mindful, you're never really behind, you know?
Correct.
In life or in your day, I guess, because you are mindful. And bring that intention. So moral of the story, though, I think recapping that idea, that's really – I'm going to listen to this honestly again because it's inspiring to time block, to bring focused intention to your day and not just be on autopilot. That's the difference.
Right.
Autopilot versus intentional, what we would call the elevated man, would live by his intentions and bring his focus to his life as opposed to reacting and just being distracted. The elevated man is not distracted man. He's a man that knows his purpose and is showing up, you know, every single day with that consistency. So that's fire, dude. Amazing. Bring attention to what you're doing and time block and be mindful. So let's talk about this, though. I think it's a really cool idea. People who listen to my stuff, they know I'm a spiritual man. I believe in God, faith in a higher power. If you're cool with that, your spirituality, your spiritual health, what has that played? What kind of role has that played in this journey? You know, because you have had so many experiences, so much ups and downs in your life. And I got to imagine having that purpose and faith in your life has made it better.
Yeah, that's a heavy question, right? Like, and I think that's something, if I'm being honest with you, I still wrestle with. You know, I've had this amazing yet lacking spiritual journey in which I've sort of come through a lot of things. You know, part of my story is that I was raised in a, you know, certain denomination, and I call it the up downs, and you go into church on Sunday and you don't dare wear anything other than a tie, and you better look nice, and God, you just feel miserable. And you stand up when they tell you to stand up, and you sit down when they tell you to sit down, and you say what they tell you to say. And, you know, I think of the, I don't even know how many years I did that, right? But more than half my life. And it's like, what did I really get from that other than a fear of God?
Right? Yeah.
And, you know, that puts people in positions of power to do what they want. And, you know, part of my spiritual journey is that I was abused by a person, you know, a priest, right? And so that sets, that has the power to probably set you on the sideline. And I think, you know, that somewhere in my journey, it was kind of like, I'm going to build this block and like just kind of do me and shut out the spiritual concept. But what that, I think that ultimately did was drove me out of the equation that I was in from a certain denomination. And there was a, I guess a period where I was probably lost, right? I'm probably still lost. I think the reality was, is that I learned a different way to have a relationship with God instead of a fear. And the relationship, as we talked about earlier in this conversation, is relationships are key, right? So when I'm fearful of someone or something, I react a certain way. But when I have a relationship, it's healthy. And what I'm working on today is my relationship with God and knowing that I can trust, put my faith in, and that no matter what comes our way, everything is going to be okay. Might not be what I had it designed to be in my brain or what I wanted, right?
Yeah.
And that's the difference, right? Is like living the way, living my life the way that I wanted versus the way that God wants. And that's, you know, that's the gap that I'm somewhere in the middle of right now.
I mean, we're all on a journey, man. Like no one's perfect, and we definitely, I don't think we'll ever reach that point where it's like, yeah, I got everything figured out.
Well, no, and that's the thing, right? But like, I think growing up, I fought that, right? I always had this like concept in my brain of the steps. And so you think about middle or elementary school, middle school, high school, college.
Sure.
Getting a job, getting married.
The life progression.
Having a family, and then perfect, right? And so I built my concept that way. And the reality is that that doesn't exist. And so what I've learned is that probably the most dangerous spot we can be in is to say we've got it all figured out, right? And I think when I look at you and I say, you know, you ask how I'm doing, I'm good, everything's fine. How, what's going on? Right, no, everything's, man, we just got everything humming along and it's perfect. No, man, it doesn't work that way, right? Like everything is not perfect.
I smell BS.
Right? So it's not that we need to tear people apart and figure out what's wrong with them.
Sure.
But everybody's fighting a battle we know nothing about.
Yep.
So what's your battle? What's my battle? And how am I taking that into my daily living? And how am I owning that?
Yeah.
Right?
Dude.
But, you know, I interview a lot of people for my job, right? So I'm thinking about bringing
people
on
our
team.
Are you
And are you looking? Like, is this thing not working out for you?
I'll work for you. I'll work for Nick. Yeah. I'll work for you.
Okay. Well, we need to have a Sarasota office.
You do, honestly. You really
talk
do.
About that. We'll get offline on that. Yeah. But you know, when you sit with somebody and you ask some questions and they tell you they have it all figured out.
Yeah.
It's really concerning.
Sure. Red lights, for sure.
Like
Red flags.
Actually, I had my worst interview of my professional career the other day. I took a guy out for coffee and I asked him a question and he answered me for 15 minutes about how awesome he was, how he lights the world on fire, how everything he touches turns to gold. Wow. And he got done and he went, that was a lot. Did it make sense? And I'm like, I so desperately wanted to look at him and be like, no,
not at all. Not at all,
but instead, I just kind of said, yeah, it's great, man. And just ask him one more question, which he took another 15 minutes to answer. And then I peaced out. But, you know, it's when I'm pontificating about how perfect everything is.
Yeah.
God, it's just, it just, I'm off track.
Yeah.
And I can get there. Listen, I can get there.
Yeah. So it's a lot to unpack there. Thank you for sharing, by the way, dude. It's an honor, and I commend you too for telling your story, even small bits. You know, I've heard you say that multiple times and share, you know, with your team, and I think it says a lot about the man you are. You are a leader, and you have stepped into the role of hero, And I'm talking like, you know.
Did I get a Live Elevated cape for that?
Maybe.
I think that's a little strong there.
Maybe.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, but hero's strong, right?
So I'm saying the hero's journey, okay? You have to slay dragons to be on the hero's journey.
I like where this is going.
Okay? You have to overcome hardships, things that have been done to you that you didn't ask for, that you don't deserve.
Right.
And you had to step out of the cave of my life is over, or I will always be a victim. You have that every victim, reason to
the,
be a victim.
Grab the victim thing, right? Like, we do that, and we can do that on small scale.
And I meant to say victor, not hero, but you're both. So
cool, but there you go. Victor's a little bit more fitting at
victorious,
times, I guess,
yeah.
Right? But I like the concept of being a hero and slaying dragons.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that home to my boys because they'll have fun.
Jordan Peterson opened my world to that, like psychology, for sure. But, archetypes.
You know, it's that victim mentality. Am I allowing myself to be a victim of the equation,
yeah,
no matter how large or small? Or am I being a victor? Like, I'm going to grow through it. And again, you know, it can be something like, you know, it can be something like, I don't feel like working out, or I hurt my back and this, that, and the other. And now all of a sudden I'm going to backslide because
right.
I'm allowing myself to be a victim of that equation versus what could I do? So I hurt my back. I can't go lift weights, but I could go walk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Right?
Like, mind blown.
Right. So it's back to move. I move the needle instead of let it sit idle. Because if I let it sit idle, it's not going to start.
There's a story that I heard recently, and it's very simple. It's like there's two arrows that hit you. The first arrow right in the chest, freaking smack dab. And it's like, that hurt, right? But then the second arrow comes, hits the same spot. Which one hurts worse? And I think the idea would be the second one hurts worse because that initial, let's say, wound,
right?
If you don't begin healing, ask for healing, or step into that healing journey, that initial wound carries with you throughout your entire life to where what someone may have done to you, said to you, whatever, you're walking around with that as an open wound. You're carrying that pain with you to the future.
Every day, instead of a one time, it defines who you are.
Yeah,
right? And you don't ever want to minimize or dismiss anybody's journey or pain.
No,
but you know, when you meet somebody that is struggling with something from 30 years ago,
yeah,
right, and you just can't help but see the paralysis. Right. And that's, you know, part of my journey is when I went through the abuse, like I allowed that to paralyze me for a period of time. And it still affects me from time to time, but not in such a way that it used to.
Sure.
And man, that could come flying back, but it doesn't define me on an everyday basis.
You're not defined by that.
And people use those things, those bogeys in their life to define them. Because sometimes pain's comfortable. Right? Like, it's the only thing I know, and so I'm just going to sit right here, and I'm going to deal with this. Because pain is comfortable.
Growth it's familiar.
Is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it's familiar.
Wow. Yeah, I think it's Jordan Peterson again. He's a psychologist, so no doubt it's obvious why so much of this applies, because there's trauma, there's pain, there's loss. All that stuff is very tied to human psychology, mm-hmm. right, obviously. And so... I lost my train of thought on that with, I'm getting old too, but it was in that line with, we were just talking about, like making it kind of like who you are and identity, and not stepping into the growth and the healing. And I think really what empowers people to change is love. And I don't think you can punish yourself out of that place. I don't think you can shame yourself out of a place of, right. of anything. It's really like love for yourself, love for others, love for your world, your future.
Right. And that's the key, right? I think it's love for yourself. And when I don't love me, how can I love you?
True.
Right. And so I, you know, when I coach professionally, I think about, and if any of my team ends up listening to this, they're going to roll their eyes and go, I've heard that before. It's like, if I can't be good for me, I can't be good for you. If I can't be good for you, I can't be good for us. If we can't be good together, we can't be good for everyone else.
Yes.
And it's that ripple effect.
Yeah.
Right? And the same concept, that's that love, right? If I don't like or love who I am and what I'm doing, I can't fully love or like you. And it just kind of just keeps going, right?
So good. So two things. I remember my thought. I'm back. I'm back, baby.
From like 15 minutes ago
from the closer one. But the second is loving your neighbor. Like, you know, obviously Western culture is very much built on biblical principles, right? The golden rules in scripture where it's like, treat others the way you would want to be treated yourself.
Yeah.
Right. That solves a lot of problems, right? Jesus said, how do you, you know, what's the most important, what's the most important commandment? It's love God with everything you got and love others as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. That takes care of every form of evil. You can't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't have love for yourself. So his command was, the implication was, of course you take care of yourself. You absolutely should love and take care of yourself. Not some type of vain glory type of like, I'm a God, like, you know, I'm the best sort of love, but a care, a genuine desire for the good of that person. And you have to have that relationship with yourself and grow in that. Forgive yourself, give yourself love to then love other people well. Second thing real quick is the idea of what we said earlier is pain is comfortable. It can be comfortable because it's familiar. We are creatures who get comfortable with familiarity. So the people, the places, if we're comfortable, the devil we know is a lot better than the devil we don't.
Correct.
So if we are familiar, if we build this house of pain, of toxicity, of unhealthy thoughts.
House of pain. I like that.
I just got goosebumps. We revert back to that when things go a little wonky or when we start making progress. We always revert back to the house we're building or the house we've built.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a lot of times we build houses.
Did you write that down?
I will. Well, I'm gonna listen to this 10 times.
Oh yeah, we recorded this.
But we build houses based on an event or a loss or a grief or an abuse, like whatever that looks like, and that becomes our entire house. The our life is built, and that house is ours. So how do we build a better house? I think it's through thoughts, words, and actions. Every day we're building either a beautiful garden or a chaotic mess, and that is this book right here, bro. As a man thinketh. That's it.
Beautiful garden or a chaotic mess in a house of pain, right?
Sticking, man. So that's, dude, it's so good. I'm going to have to do the video again here in a second, but
you should probably figure out how we put a bookend on this, because nobody wants to listen to us ramble for like hours.
For sure. Well, I guess let's kind of close with that then, because I don't want to close within the next minute, maybe the next 5 minutes, but I think I just do want to say, like, dude, I'm really proud of you, bro. I think religion and relationship, that's something that has been coined, but it can't be shared enough to where, dude, religion, fear, punishment, you know, do better mentality, like, is not what changes people's lives. The love of God changes people's lives. The God who, I believe, came down to earth, became one of us, lived, healed, did miracles, changed the weather, did stuff that no one else ever did, died for us, sacrificed everything, gave himself for us, and now we live through, like, he lives through us, through belief and faith. So Christ in us is what changes the world and sets the world on fire, and it's the love of God that actually makes the biggest difference. It's not the hellfire that was preached to you and I at a young age because we drank or had sex or whatever. That's toxic to real life transformation and abundant life, which Jesus talked about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm proud of you, bro. I'm proud of you. So we're going to keep rolling.
Still recording or?
Yeah. Last one.
You're just not recording on the video.
Oh, so the video
went out a long time ago.
Well, the battery freaking broke. Okay. All right. So this last part of the podcast for however long will not be video. But trust me when I say this, Nick looks absolutely incredible still. So don't worry about that. but I need to figure out that part. I can't have a video podcast with no video. But anyway, I'm proud of you, dude. I'm really like honored, obviously, for your time and for you sharing your story, just opening up. You know, I think I'll land the plan here is like, what are you looking forward to? What are you hopeful in your life? I mean, you have so many amazing blessings in your life, family. Future.
Growth, right? Continued growth. And to go back, we were talking about the steps in life and how I used to envision life as this place of perfection, and you get there and you just kind of stay there and hang out, right? when I learn that that doesn't exist, I get discouraged. But when I learn that life is about continued growth, now I get excited, right? Like, I'm excited to be a different person tomorrow than I was today, and a different person a year from now than I am today. And if I'm still doing some of the dumb stuff I'm doing a year from now, like, kick me, right? but it's growth of me and those around me, right? Like, what I'm working really, really hard in my life to do is surround myself with people that want to be a different version of themselves for the better, right? I was having a conversation in the car on the way up here, again, about getting 1 + 1 to equal more than 2. But one of the comments that I'm just wholeheartedly embracing in my life is that when we put good people together, the details take care of themselves.
Facts.
And the end result becomes a game changer. And so that can be business, it can be home life, it can be friendships, it can be anything, right? And so it's that journey of continued growth, and that's what's exciting to me. I don't have it all figured out, far from it. I used to try to map it all out, like, where are we going to be? And look, you can track numbers on a spreadsheet, and my wife will tell you, God, I do that. but we can't predict where we're going to be a year. I mean, I say three things on a continued basis. Is a short 5 years ago, I was only going to have five children. I said that totally wrong. Short 5 years ago, I said three things. I was only going to have 2 children.
Yep.
I had no interest in anything that had to do with Florida. And I would never work for a large-scale corporation.
Uh-huh.
I'm living in Florida, working for a large-scale corporation, and the daughter has my daughter became my third child, light of my life. Like, and while life is far from perfect, it's never been better. And that was another conversation I was having in the car on the way up here about, like, we can't predict where we're going to go. It's about that journey, right? The journey to where I am today.
So freaking good. Mic drop moment. The fact that we can continue this journey together and with God, like, the ultimate, like, sustainer of life, and the like, him living through us and the ability to keep going and persevere and be inspired and be encouraged is what makes life worth living. And you know, being able to love each other, like, love our families, lead by example, grow, become, like you said, a different version of yourself. And I get that too. It's like becoming more you, like, more you is unlocking, more of your DNA is flipping on, it's turning on. And so that version is you, but it's more you. And so you're not becoming anybody else. You're just growing. Correct. As Nick Gerber always was made to grow.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I think we get distracted. We try to become other people.
Bingo. Can't do that. Takes away from you. No one has your unique DNA. So continue growing. I'm stoked. I'm inspired. I know people have resonated with this. So if you like this episode, share it. Nick and I are about to get a little cold plunge, a little workout. I'm grateful for guys like Nick and just the authenticity. I said that weird. Authenticity.
I think you said it right.
Vulnerability. Power that you share in a loving way, in a selfless way. You're a really good dude, really awesome human. I'm grateful to know you, bro. I freaking love you, man.
Appreciate it, man. Love you, too. You know, I think I appreciate you and your desire to uncover this stuff inside of people, right, and tell the story and have people pay attention, challenge people to look at things in a different way. We need more of that in the world instead of what we have right now.
Heck yeah, bro.
So thank you.
Dude. I received that, man. I'm inspired.
Let's go get in that tank.
Let's go. Guys, thanks for listening. Men and women, you guys are amazing. Thanks for supporting. If you love this episode, share it. You know, message me. Nick Gerber is out there, but again, he's not on social media as much because he's got one freaking singular focus in his life, and it's not necessarily Instagram. But yeah, share this episode and DM me with what you liked about it, what you want to see more of. But until next time, guys, live elevated. See you next time. Peace. Dude, amazing, bro.